Hello, hello. Hey, yo, what's up? What's good? Bonjour. Welcome to the Any Given Runway Show.
I'm your host,
Randall Carlton Green. Any Given Runway celebrates the exploration of new cultures by highlighting some of the most artistic, athletic, tenacious, basically unique and interesting people in the world. Everyone has a story. Each person a scholar. Welcome to season four. Yes, we start our fourth year. If this were a university, we'd be on our way to graduation. But don't worry, no senioritis here, as the show will continue to explore new cultures by showcasing some of the most unique minds and interesting humans on the planet. In our first three seasons, we had over 550 episodes and featured guests from across 70 different countries. The show is on a constant search for creative, artistic, and intelligent minds while celebrating the differences in human culture. Man, we have an awesome, awesome show for today with a one-of-a-kind human. Pro trail runner Zachary Ryan Friedley joins the show. Zachary is the founder of Born to Adapt, an all-inclusive trail race designed for adaptive athletes by adaptive athletes. And he's also the founder of the Mendocino Movement Project, which aims to get runners of all abilities out onto the trails. In addition to his charitable endeavors, he's a very, very successful trail runner and has raced at some of the top courses around the world. He's a remarkable human, one who advocates going on vision quests and seeking new ways to motivate himself, but also to make a difference at the same time. On today's conversation, we chat about Born to Adapt and what inspired its creation. Zachary also reflects on his running career and some of the locations and events that stand out. I could go on and on about all of his accolades. To sum it up, he is the epitome of the type of guest we'd like to have on the show. Thrilled to have him as a guest. You guys are going to love him. So let's go ahead and bring on professional trail runner, Zachary Ryan Friedley, and let's learn.
You probably know this, but like running is like the catalyst. Like, yeah, I am a runner, but there's way more stuff happening besides, you know, that's like the surface level. You get down into like the meat and potatoes of it. There's a whole other world of stuff happening. And I just use running as the way to travel the world, essentially.
Yeah. And from my experience, runners aren't boring. Someone who is willing to put themselves through this long, these long endurance races, these are generally interesting people.
Totally. There's a lot of interesting people. Everybody in the running community has like a unique story or something. A lot of adversity that they're, you know, they're running for something rather than themselves, which is really always a pleasure to hear people's stories on how they got here.
Yeah. And I mean, anybody who's willing to put themselves through this, especially these races, these ultras and everything, the trails, I'm intrigued. I'm instantly intrigued. I want to hear more. I want to learn more from them. And you're one of them. So I was definitely excited to chat with you and learn from you.
Have you ever ran a trail?
Not a trail race. No, I got one by my house here. That's nice that I need to do, but I'm mostly just flat street races.
Nice. Maybe one day you can wander off onto a trail and see what it's like.
Why not? Maybe I'll gotta go slow. I gotta start on a low mileage one first, but then I'm all about it. So
I got an event for you. It's called Born to Run. It's how I got my start into trail running. It's a real magical experience. Have you ever read the book Born to Run?
I love the book. It's right here. Yeah. Got it sitting right next to me.
So it's based off a character from the book, Luis Escobar. He hosts this event. Sometimes McDougal shows up. Definitely Barefoot Ted shows up. There's like 1,000 people or more, many different distances. Running does happen, but it's more about the community. And it's how I found my way into running, completely by chance, showed up at this thing. Next thing you know, my life's changed. And yeah. So April 15th.
And is that part of Born to Adapt or is that?
Yeah. So it's the same time, same place.
Okay.
Born to Adapt was just a thing that we created last year and Lewis helped me. Lewis is a really good friend of mine, mentor, just overall person that has helped me out in life. So his event attracts lots of different people from all over the world and Born to Adapt happens inside that event. So yeah, it's a cool place. A lot of amazing characters. It's a place where you can just wander around and maybe be talking to somebody who's living in their van. And then right away next to them is somebody who runs a company. It's a CEO and you can't tell the difference, which is like really cool, you know?
We'll talk more about Born to Adapt. But first I want to talk
about
how you got into running. And you know, what's interesting, I find that with many of the guests, running is a passion that's acquired later in life. You know, as kids, we don't see running as necessarily something we want to do, right? It's associated in gym with, hey, you get in trouble, go run a lap. So it's always
put. Yes.
So running becomes this thing as adults that it's one of the few activities I find that more adults get it later in life. So for you, when were you first bitten by the running bug?
Well, kind of like what you just said. I mean, running's always been around in my life. I played sports as a kid. So it was always like, you know, punishment. You didn't do this, run a lap, or conditioning and like wrestling where you had to run sprints, or football where you actually hated running. So I had this association with hate. And then I actually got reintroduced to running when I was about 21. I somehow landed in this position where I had something wrong with my prosthetic leg. My whole life I was taken care of by this group called the Shriners Hospital, and they take care of you till you're like 18 or so. Well, my first experience outside of that organization was like a privatized deal, and this company made me a leg and it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to. And I had to end up writing an email to the company and being like, hey, I went from being really active to not active. And they invited me down to their headquarters to fix the problem or to figure out what was going on. And while I was there, they said, hey, have you ever tried out a running blade? And back then, you couldn't, to my knowledge, I mean, the internet wasn't really, you know, it is today. It was like 2007. So getting information was like kind of word of mouth. Maybe you had to know somebody. So it was very challenging to get a blade back then, and they gave me a blade, and I started running at the, like down this hallway, and they were like, wow, you're like really natural at this. Have you thought about running in the Paralympics? And I was like, wow, like I didn't even know like I could do this. And so that kind of started my first entry to running. And it was all about trying to prove something, being fast, a lot of like, anger and like pent up stuff to just prove myself, which was still kind of like not the greatest feeling with running. You know, I didn't go out and run then because I loved it. I did it because I wanted to prove something. So that was my first entry into running. Does that answer your question pretty good?
It does. Do you remember the emotions you felt when you first put on those blades and when you got home that night and you sat down? And it was, I mean, it changed your life. This has got to be an amazing.
Yeah. My body moved in a way that I had only maybe dreamt of, like literally, like I'm a big dreamer, and I would always dream of moving my body like really crazy, you know, like running and jumping and flying. And now in real life, I have this piece of equipment that, you know, cost thousands and thousands of dollars. There was no like straight path to get it. And now I had it. It was awesome. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. I think I just remembered a memory. I might've even slept in the bed with the blade, like, this is my thing, you know?
Well, I admire that you're a dreamer. I spent this last weekend dreaming about some future opportunities, and I just was like, let me just enjoy this. Let me just daydream for a bit. So I admire that. Well, years later, you started the Mendocino Movement Project. What inspired its creation? Can you tell me more about it?
Yeah, it's kind of a rabbit hole. You know, I turned 30, and I moved from my hometown where I was born and raised in the Midwest, Kansas City, Missouri. And I started traveling around East Coast, found my way up to Northern California, worked on a cannabis farm, like deep in the mountains where there's basically not a lot of people, no cell phone reception, no internet. And so that kind of started the path of like going inside and like seeing who I was. I remember leaving Kansas City with the mission of finding out what success is. And I wanted to get other people's opinion on success rather than just what people around me in my circle in Kansas City thought was success. So that was the kind of what started it. And one thing led to the next. I kind of figured out success to me meant how much can you impact other people around you rather than maybe going out and trying to be a millionaire or being, you know, moving your way up a corporate ladder. I thought, well, how about I just impact people's lives in a way. Whether maybe my impact's only one person or maybe my impact could be thousands. I don't know. I got to find out. So that's kind of where the nonprofit idea started circling in my brain. And I've been always a privileged person with prosthetics, and I've had prosthetics growing up. Like, you know, anytime something happened, I had a prosthetic. I was always insured after the Shriners, got a prosthetic, was a sponsored athlete, got prosthetics. So I never, ever had to figure it out. And then once I kind of let go of everything and I came to Northern California, I figured out, oh, I wasn't insured anymore. I still have a need for prosthetics. And I found myself actually unable to afford prosthetics. And I was on crutches. And but I still had that inspiration inside of like, what can I do with my life? And that's when I started to experience what it felt like not to have the resources that you needed. And I knew deep down that I was going to figure it out, but I couldn't help but keep the thought of, what about the people that aren't going to figure it out? Who's helping them? How do we help them? And I had all these amazing mentors around me, and I'd bounce these ideas off of them. And then one thing led to the next. Then, you know, it turned into a 501c3 nonprofit, a couple pivots. You know, now we host disabled events in the outdoors, and we connect people with that community to the resources that they need. And I have aspirations of one day maybe going to a different country like India and giving people prosthetics there. So it just kind of started on like a vision quest, you know?
You said that you have been privileged when it comes to prosthetics. I'm guessing there's a lot of people you encountered who didn't even know some of these options were out there, didn't even know the science technology that is available to them potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I was just in New Zealand last week, and I had a friend that I just met through running. One of my sponsors connected me with this amputee society in New Zealand, and I hung out with the president for like 3 or 4 days as he drove me around to prosthetics places, and I talked to professionals there in the prosthetics world and patients and all these people, and a lot of them had looked at my stuff and they were like, whoa, what is this? You know, like, so there's a lot of things that it's not like a straight line of prosthetics. There's all different types of access, especially when you start jumping outside the United States. And then even in the United States, it's not all equal. You know, I feel like you could spend a lifetime of trying to make the system better, and you might not even really scratch the surface, to be honest. The rabbit hole on itself.
Yeah, it's incredible. And one thing that I loved on your Instagram, you talk about representation. And maybe when you were younger, you didn't have as many people to look towards. And now we see that, and we see it's more common, and it's something that's possible. Can you talk more about the representation aspect and why you love blazing that trail?
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, first off, you didn't use the word disabled in my household. It was a word that was associated with like weakness and like, you know, stay away from that word. So you tried, me as a person that is disabled, missing my leg, you tried everything in your power not to be that. You know, you would try to overachieve and be this hero and try to create these opportunities for yourself because they weren't really there for you, especially in the mainstream. I don't even remember first time I saw a person disabled or maybe in a wheelchair. I mean, there's not a memory there that was like, oh yeah, this person. So maybe in today's society, we can change that. You know, we have a lot of social media platforms and there's a lot of media telling stories. And now we have the ability as a society to tell those stories of all types of people, and disabled people are those people, you know? So yeah, I think it's important that in mainstream it's there and happening. And also not happening in a sense that it's always a hero story, just normal day people. You know, everybody's a hero in their own life, but I think there's a lot of pressure on disabled people to be like in the Paralympics or run this 100 miles or whatever, you know. Like, what about the people that just want to go and connect with their community? Those are heroes in my opinion.
You talked a little bit earlier about the event Born to Adapt. What inspired its creation? Why did you feel it was important to have this event?
Well, when I found my way to trail running myself, I went to Born to Run 2019. I like telling the story because it's really crazy how it all happened. So
it's awesome to me that it's so recent. This is 2019. This is still, it's a new thing. It's cool to see building from the ground up and everything.
Let me even rewind this a little bit before then. In October of 2018, I went to India. It was the first time I ever left the country in my life. I think I was like 33 or 34 years old. And I was in India, and I wasn't like a tourist in India. I got invited to India from a guy named Maharaji. His name is Sat Paul Maharaji. He's a minister of tourism. He's also a guru in India. He's got ashrams all over, and he invited me to one. And so I went, and we were up at the like foothills of the Himalayas in a town called Hardwar. I spent like a month in an ashram learning from another gentleman named Mahama Fakirnan, and just changed my life completely. Like, I had already had the thoughts of nonprofit and like doing something in the world. And then you put me in this place, it just like, boom, like really exploded inside. And it allowed my external world to like kind of replicate that. So a few months later, back in the US, I'm following all these different things that keep popping up, like getting a different prosthetic. So I was still without a prosthetic when I went to India. I still hadn't figured out my own prosthetic. So finally, I got that all sorted in like April of 2019. And then in May of 2019, I found myself a Born to Run with the goal to go there to hand out coffee to all the runners at this trail running event. I didn't know what trail running was, but I had kind of peeked around at it and realized that these people care about moving. So if I went there with coffee to give them and talk about my nonprofit, then I can maybe make some connections for the nonprofit. Day before the event took place, I signed up for a 10-mile trail run. I'd never run further than 3 miles on a road path. And I did this 10-mile trail run with all these people on this beautiful ranch in Los Olivos, California, across the finish line. And then all of a sudden, all these emotions came over me. I was crying. I was like kind of like shaking. It was just like transformational. And at the same time, I looked at the world like almost like somebody opened up another level of like, whoa, now you can go into the outdoors and check out these national parks that when you were a kid and like as a young adult, you were just driving through with your family. Now you can go run those things. So it was just like, whoa. And then I was like, we got to tell everybody, we got to tell all these people that I know that, you know, have blades and stuff. And it just kind of started my thing of like, we got to get more people out here. Like, how come nobody's talking about this? This is craziness, you know?
It's really cool just listening to you because your eyes lighting up. I'm dreaming going back in time with you watching you, just the emotions that you had after finishing that 10 mile. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was epic.
How about just now you as a competitor, what is the mental preparation that goes in to a trail run, especially one when you're talking the very high mileage?
Yeah. So like nowadays, you know, my running career has definitely evolved from that finish in 2019. I have a running coach. I have a strength coach. I have a somatic therapist. I have physio. I mean, there's a whole big team to keeps me on the trails. You know, I take care of a lot of things internally, externally. There's a lot happening. You know, physically, I'm training 6 days a week, tracking all my workouts, going over my workouts with my coach, looking at the race profile of the next race and seeing like how much vertical it is and what kind of terrain it is, and just really trying to prepare for that in my everyday training. Doing a lot of visualizations of what it's going to feel like, not just good feelings. Like, what's it going to feel like when you hit this wall or you get in this like pain cave? How are you going to manage that? So I visualize those things as well. That way, when it happens to me in real life, I'm prepared for it and I'm just kind of even through it all. You know, when I'm feeling great, I'm right here. When I'm feeling not so great, I'm still right there, and not like making this my reality forever or whatever. It's a lot of meditation, honestly, too. A lot of practicing being in the now. I mean, this is my life. This is my 9-to-5. I build my life around this. And you know, in my mind, the bigger my platform grows, the more I get to have moments like this where I can talk about Born to Adapt and all these other things that I truly want to do for the rest of my life.
Now, well, you piqued my interest because I heard you say somatic therapist. So what have you learned?
Yeah.
But I'd like to hear more.
So what do you know about somatic?
Goodness. Not too much. I just know that once I placed a higher priority on that in my own life, everything else, I benefited everything else. Like, I was stronger at the gym. I was better.
How old were you when you uncovered that?
Early 30s, probably.
So that's kind of the same with me. Like, it was something like, I was a skeptic at first because I was like, no way, like, what, this is BS. You know, I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Missouri. I'm from the Show Me State. So I'm like, prove it, you know, and that actually mentality ended up helping me. And what this is I met this guy named Fred Midtower. He lives about an hour south of me and he's been practicing this for about 50 years. And he basically combines massage therapy with shaman work, with like PhD, like psychotherapy. You're on a table, you're in the redwoods, you can hear the ocean. And he's talking through these things. And we've basically like removed traumatic experiences from my life that I didn't even know were traumatic experiences, you know, from being a kid, growing up different, all these things that I might've just pushed to the side and buried down way deep to where conscious Zach had no clue that these were there, but they were in fact there. So we went through all of that stuff and like rearranged a bunch of stuff inside. And to be honest, making space for the things that I'm involved in now and the experiences that I'm able to do now. And it's still an ongoing process. It's not like I went there and I'm like, all right, it's all done. Like, it's an ongoing thing that I think we're going to have to work on until we take our last breath, honestly. And it's just part of my everyday practice. It's part of my routine when I come back home. And it changed my life. I mean, the work literally made me feel different inside my body. It made me feel different how I kind of perceived the world. And my experiences started to shift. The people in my life started to shift. Everything changed. And it's one of the things I love to talk about because it's kind of like behind the curtain, you know, of like what have I done in the last 10 years? And there's a lot of cool stuff that's not like on my Instagram or on my Facebook or whatever, you know. It's the real like meat and potatoes of everything.
And it's a tangible evolution that you've had. I was going to ask you here about in your running career, what is something that makes you most proud? But I got a feeling of what your answer would be. So I'm going to make this a two-part question. What is a running result first that makes you the most proud? And then after that, maybe in general, what makes you the most proud?
You know, every race I've ever done, I'm proud of. It's tough to choose because, you know, I've had some really rough races where I DNF'd. I've had some really great races where I finished, and I equally like them all because there's something magical or special in all of them. But if we're going on results, I just finished UTMB Tarawera in New Zealand, 21K, and I crushed it. It was the first race that I ever passed people, first race that I never had like a moment of like, man, this sucks. I just really had a really excellent game plan going in with my coach, had a strategy, and we executed it to a T. And I even had one moment where I did have a little bit of adversity towards the end where I stubbed my toe on a rock and I lost feeling in my toes. But I've got much longer races down the road. So I'm like, I used that moment of like, all right, we're at UTMB in France. We're halfway done. Something just happens. What do you do? And I used that moment and finished strong and was like, wow, this is really cool. Where I could have been like, oh man, like this is not how I wanted it. I was so close. But I was like, oh, cool. Opportunity. How are we going to do this? So that event, you know, 10 days ago was so awesome.
Very cool. Very cool. And how about just since you have started making running, like you said, your day job, making this a big part of your life in the last less than a decade, which is really cool. During that time, what makes you the most proud?
Probably Born to Adapt, honestly. That experience, you know, when you create something that doesn't really exist and you don't really have the people in front of you that you're creating it for, it's really scary. You're like, man, maybe no one shows up. Maybe I'm on an island by myself. You know, so to have those people show up last year, one boy in particular is named Sean Wall. He's in a wheelchair. His dad made him this off-road rig. You know, him, like his parents thanked me for creating this. And I was like thanking them back. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you don't even know like how important it is that you're here. This like really validates this thing that I needed to create. So if we have one of those kids a year come to this event, worth it. You know, and that I think is extra special.
I agree. When you arrive at a new location and maybe it's a national park, whatever it is, how do you choose the trail to run? Do you have a certain science behind it? Is it all just, let me just go figure it out from mine? Is an app that you use? New country, new location, new state. How do you choose?
I use Strava a lot. Strava's got a lot of segments. I also use this app called All Trails. I also sometimes find people in the area that maybe, you know, if I'm going to Missoula, like for instance, this past summer, I went to Missoula, Montana to train for UTMB in France. And my buddy, Chris Brown, who is a pro trail runner for Hoka, I was like, hey, man, I need trails like X, Y, and Z. Like, he's actually been to where I live. And I said, hey, I need a place like Big River. I need a place like the Woodlands. What do you got for me? And he like laid it all out for me of like, this is for this, this is for this, this is for this. And I literally, as I was training on those trails, I was like, wow, he nailed it. So it's just a lot of those like methods, you know, word of mouth is great.
I'll be sure to follow you on Strava later today. And I definitely use All Trails as well. How about throughout your runs, the location that left you the most awestruck based on the nature around you? And I know there's many, many, especially in California.
Man, I've seen some really cool stuff. You know, I've ran in the Alps, ran in New Zealand. I've ran Oregon. But I'm going to have to say, even after going to New Zealand within the last week or so, where I live in Mendocino, I went on like a Vision Quest hike yesterday. My coach gave me a workout where I went on a 2-hour hike. And my job or my mission there was to get a mantra for the next race, kind of process New Zealand. And I'm walking around this place. So I don't get to walk around it very often. I'm always out there smashing down miles and I'm like looking around. And I'm like, whoa, this is pretty epic, you know? So I got to go with that. My backyard.
Same question now. The location that had the best post-race meal.
Anywhere my wife travels with me, because she's always got that curated because she knows me and I don't have to figure it out. She'll figure it out for me. But one comes to mind. I think it was maybe this race in Oregon where it was like a 20-mile race up this mountain. To this day, I think it might be the most physically challenging one I've ever done, because my body that night, I was like shivering. Like I was cold, but my wife said I was like sweating and my body was insanely hot. So my body was going through something, but I remember like maybe eating a steak, maybe with my bare hands, with Skittles and stuff like that, ice cream.
What is the food when you're getting close to the end and you know you can reward yourself? What is the food you're daydreaming about? Because I know you're a dreamer. So what are you fantasizing about when you get close to the finish line?
This last time it was ice cream, because there was an ice cream shop within like 500 meters. And I imagine myself running straight through the finish line and not stopping and running right to the corner of that ice cream shop. And I did. It didn't end up just like that, but within 30 minutes of finishing, we were at the ice cream shop and I had like 3 scoops.
Biggest life lesson you learned from 2022?
Biggest life lesson. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is dreams come true. You just got to keep at it. And you might not know how it's going to pan out or what the pathway is to it. But I feel like if you keep it in your mind at all times, it happens. And for me, that was signing my pro deal with On. It's honestly been better than I dreamed. And that is real cool to me that, you know, I thought about that probably since second grade, to be honest. You know, I remember seeing an Olympian from the 1980s hockey team when US beat Russia, came into our classroom and passed his gold medal around. And I remember wanting to be, you know, an Olympian or a pro athlete. And there was many, many, many failed dreams of that happening. But it finally happened when I, you know, was 38 years old.
Well, during the creation of that and then your Mendocino project, when you didn't know the answer and you hit those frustrated moments or those setbacks, what'd you do?
I don't know. I think the first thing I did is I didn't label them as setbacks or failures or like negative or positive. It's just an experience that's happening and where is it going to direct me? And I just tried to keep it real even all the way through. You know, I mean, there was lots of moments of excitement. I mean, I got turned down a lot of times, but I felt like getting turned down or turned away or whatever was just another opportunity to go another direction. I just really deeply believed that I was on the right path, and the right path sometimes isn't straight, you know? And just being able to handle those moments of adversity with just real, I don't even know what the word, just like calmness, you know what I mean? Grace, that's the word I'm looking for.
It's like a running metaphor too, right? No one wants to run a race that is just straight the entire time. You want the turns and you want the dips in the
valley. Totally.
Are you a reader? And if so, most memorable book of the last couple of years was what?
I am a reader. The last memorable book, I'm looking at my books here. That's tough. There's this book called Atomic Habits. It seems to always circle around my house and my life. Thing about me is I do read a lot, but I think I have ADHD. I was diagnosed with this like a decade ago, and I don't take anything for it anymore. I'm just kind of like raw, no pharmaceuticals. So I'll pick up a book, I'll read like 30 or 40 pages, and then I'll see this other book and I pick up that book. So I'm like reading things like just all the time. But this book, Atomic Habits, has passed through my grasp like 10 or 20 times. And there's always something in there where I'm like, whoa, like, boom, like, what a piece of wisdom.
That April 15th weekend, I actually have a run here in Arizona. I have the Pat Tillman run. It's like the 19th annual. I do it every year. He was one of my heroes. So I won't be able to attend Born to Adapt. But can you tell everybody about how they can sign up, how they can get the information, and also what they can expect from Born to Adapt this April?
Yeah, so Born to Adapt is an event that I created for disabled people of all different types of abilities, whether you've never ran on a trail in your life or you're a seasoned trail runner. This is a place that you come. We have a 3-hour challenge that's wheelchair accessible, where you just basically do a loop as many times as you can. In 3 hours, you can do no loop or 50 loops. There's no rules. So I invite those people to come and check that out. And then we also have a 10-mile and 30-mile trail race that is got its own adaptive division. There's cash prizes. You know, you're going around this ranch. It's like farm road, single track. It's pretty gnarly. And someone recently asked me, hey, I got a friend in a wheelchair. Can we bring him and do this 10-mile? And I'm like, well, it's not necessarily like wheelchair friendly, but he's like, hey, if there's a group of us, we can pick him up. And I'm like, yeah, come experiment. Come try it out. This is exactly that space for that. And that happens April 15th in Los Olivos, California. And you just go to Ultra Sign Up and just type in Born to Adapt and it should pop up. And if you ever have any questions, you can find me on Instagram, Zachary_movement. And that's a really good platform to ask me anything you want.
I admire the heck out of you for that. One of these days I'll get out there to it, but that is just an incredible, incredible program that you've created. And that's so cool.
Thanks, man. We're definitely proud of it.
Didn't want to talk to anybody from Kansas City. As an Eagles fan, this was
a little reluctance.
You guys broke my heart this year, but you are my favorite Kansas City person. I'm going to make an exception from talking to us. You're my favorite Kansas City native.
I'll take it, man. What a game, though, right?
You guys broke my heart. As a general rule, I'm staying away from all Kansas City people in 2023, except for you.
Thanks, dude. I mean, it's tough. We got Pat Mahomes, man. He's a different breed.
He is. You guys were great, and you were great as a guest. This was awesome. I knew you were going to be awesome and exceeded my expectations.
Thanks for having me on. This is great.
It's been here, and I hope that one day we share a running trail together. So.
Absolutely. I have a feeling it's going to happen, dude.
I do as well. Keep doing what you're doing. So much respect.
Thanks, man.
Hey, we'll talk again, but thanks for it.
Yep. I'll see you, buddy.
Thank you to Zachary. Best of luck on the upcoming Born to Adapt. I hope to get out there 1 year. You can stay up to date with Zachary's life and career by following him on Instagram, Zachary_movement. And from there, you're going to see links to the Mendocino Movement Program and Born to Adapt. Everyone has a story. Each person a scholar. Thank you for listening. Fill up that passport. I'll see you on the road. A bientôt.